conference yesterday, we stated that today we'd be flight testing the Saturn V, that is this new launch vehicle, for the first time. We said that we'd be flight testing the Apollo reentry at lunar return speeds for the first time. We said that we would be live testing our launch and operational facilities for the first time. And it would be testing a development and operational team in its first major mission for the first time. These goals, as you know, have all been accomplished. Today, we placed in near-Earth orbit over 280,000 pounds. To give this some perspective, this is three times the weight of the six manned Mercury capsules and the nine Gemini capsules that have been flown by our astronauts. In response to questions yesterday, we said that we would not be completely satisfied with Apollo 4, that is today's mission, unless we went through the planned mission all the way to spacecraft recovery. I say the mission is successful because the Bennington is now alongside the capsule, and we can be sure that it will be aboard in 30 or 40 minutes. We know that we have obtained a great deal of important data. Just the conduct of the mission itself gives us very valuable information. We have the spacecraft to inspect. We have all of our telemetered information and photographic data obtained on the ground. We've recovered two cassettes that were taking movies from the S2 stage so that we will have a great deal of information to analyze and to evaluate. And we know that this is extremely important for the upcoming succession of flights that will lead to and certainly include the lunar landing. But I believe that more important even than this is the clear indication that our team of government, industry, and university people was not found wanting, and that we do have the capacity in this country to be preeminent, not only in space, but in all human endeavor involving science and technology. The power of the Saturn V is exceeded many-fold by our power in this country to accomplish the near impossible for the good of all mankind.
Thank you. Dr. Miller?
I'd like to say just a few words of my pleasure, my pride, and my happiness for the results of the work of the 300,000 people who at one time or another have contributed to the Apollo program and to the success that we have enjoyed today. A friend of mine, Bob Holtz, whom many of you know, has accused me of failing in times past to convey any idea of the magnitude of the task that was exemplified by the flight that we pulled off today. Bob's analogy to the Apollo program is one that says, I do think that this was a tremendous achievement, and I again say I'm proud of all of the people that have been involved in the program. Thank you.
Well, I don't believe all the participants have gathered yet at the Cape. There's a gentleman down there who himself has had a lot to do with the development of this rocket, and who heads a very able team that had everything to do with the building of the launch vehicle. I'm sure everybody would like to hear from you, Dr. Von Braun. If we can go back to Houston, I'm sorry, Bill Snyder?
I can't add much to what was said there. As a matter of fact, I don't think I can add anything. I would like to say one thing that I've been wanting to say for all the past 5 years. In all sincerity, I'd like to thank the American people for their faith in our space program, which has given me the opportunity to work with the people I've been working with. Thank you.
General Houston?
Well, I'd first like to congratulate the NASA government team for this very significant, very tremendous success today. I can say that, and speak for the DOD, that we certainly are happy to be a part of it. And in respect to today's mission, we were operating with a new team in a lot of respects. I'd like to mention Admiral Christopher's name, who is the commander of the task group in the Atlantic, Admiral Lynch's name, who is the commander of the task group in the Pacific, and it was very gratifying to work with them and see their status of preparations and responsiveness to the possible problems, which fortunately we didn't have to carry out. But there were a few significant things in today's mission which portend things for the future. Today in the network we had the first Apollo ship for the first time, the Vanguard. There will be five of these eventually. It performed its job in very worthwhile fashion, and we're quite proud of that. We also had the five Apollo aircraft up, five of the eight that we will have eventually, and in all respects, they performed their job. On launch, one of our jobs was to attempt to photograph, observe, and recover the S1C stage. We did observe it. We did photograph it, I understand. But, of course, it broke up, and we recovered some of the debris. Another job was to recover the photo cassettes, which we did recover intact. And as far as I know, they are back at the Cape right now. The rest of the mission was complicated in regards to the recovery in that we had a large number of contingency abort plans that we were ready to carry out, which gave us some very significant training and preparation for the future. The only thing significant we had to worry about particularly was the weather in the primary recovery area and west 900 miles where the destroyer, the Carpenter, was. In this case, we had a front along the path, which we looked at very closely last night and this morning, and decided to continue the aiming point after discussions with Mr. Kraft and Mr. Snyder here. Fortunately, why, came right down within 5.9 miles of the carrier. That's the figure I heard. And it was a good decision, I believe. So again, it was a very significant mission, very well done. We're happy to be part of it, and we look forward to greater things in the future.
Thank you, General. Our next speaker is Mr. Christopher Columbus Kraft with a K, our Director of Flight Operations.
Thank you, Paul. I'm very pleased to say that I'm very proud of the team that we had in the control center today, run by Mr. Lunny. Very proud of those boys. I think they did a wonderful job. The people at the Goddard Space Flight Center are not represented here, but I think we ought to point out that today was a big day for them in bringing up the new Apollo network. It was quite a job to get that system ready for this flight. I think they did a tremendous job and certainly ought to be congratulated. I think the whole Apollo team and the Apollo hardware matured today, and I'm proud to see our boys a part of it. Mr. Lunny.
Well, Chris has mentioned all the elements of the team that we worked with, and I also was delighted with the way that the team acted and conducted themselves throughout the test today and the planning and the pre-launch operations that we've been engaged in for the last several months. Speaking for, I'm sure, all the members of the team in the control center and all the people around the world, I think all we have to say, it was a great thrill to be a part of this operation, and it's wonderful to see the mission itself be so successful.
And speaking as an old man of 30 years old, that's quite a statement, Mr. Lunny. I understand Dr. Von Braun may want to reserve his comments till the other center directors are there later. Have they arrived yet? Well, if not, then we'll proceed with questions in Houston, if there are any. Today, and I'm sure that having carried out such a successful mission, that this will give the team confidence for future missions, and it will give those who must provide the resources, the country at large, Congress, I'm certain, confidence that they are providing resources for a team that is going to make maximum use of the facilities and of the people involved to achieve maximum benefit, not only for the lunar landing, and important as that is, but for a variety of short and long-term benefits.
How close did you come in your trajectories and burns to your nominals? Do you have any figures you can use at all?
I didn't bring all the papers over, but as far as we could tell, everything was just about on the money. We inserted into an orbit which was probably within 2 miles of what we were shooting for. The second burn was the second Saturn IV, S4B burn. Was very, very close to what we aimed for. We followed that up with a 16-second burn with the service propulsion system. The planned burn was 15 seconds, as you know. We were very, very close to our desired cutoff conditions. The second service propulsion burn, the last one of the day, I think the accuracy of it can be attested by the landing point, which was about 18,000 yards from the carrier. So we couldn't have been happier with the accuracy of the systems and the way the vehicles performed during the major maneuvers.
Are there questions at the Cape?
Party arriving. We hope that the whole group will be here shortly. Right here in the front row.
See if I can pass on the question here. Apparently they're not receiving it.
Have you or anyone else made a statement to the effect that our propulsive vent valve on the S4B was opened?
I have not.
Overloaded with pressure, I think.
I'm not. My display's been for a while.
Landing was nominal and all
repeat your question. We're going to pass it on here.
Normal.
In a word, yes. We played the tapes back from Guam, the station at Guam, and we were able to verify the last function that we were not able to verify in real time. That is, the separation was normal. From there on in, we had contact with the Araya aircraft. That is, the Araya aircraft had contact with the spacecraft at about the time we expected them to, as we went through the two blackouts. And the reports were about on time, near as we could tell. And then the final proof of the pudding, of course, was the visual contact with the spacecraft on chutes off the bridge of the Bennington.
But you're satisfied that somebody did see the events going into blackout and coming out?
We saw the events through separation. The next event that we really have a very good hack on is the landing time, which seemed to me to be within about 15 seconds of what we predicted before we went into the sequence. So I can only judge at this time that it was as normal as we could get.
Okay, did you copy that, Jay?
Art Snyder, Chicago Daily News for Mr. Lunny. Did the black boxes do the job that a man could have done in this mission, or was there any point at which you would have liked to have seen a man in the loop?
Well, I guess I would have liked to have seen a man in the loop the whole way, and the sooner we can move into that, the happier we'll be in the program, and the more safely and the more successfully I think we'll be able to operate the mission. However, as the equipment was designed for the flight, as near as we could tell, it worked essentially flawlessly throughout the flight. As you know, this was a long flight to fly unmanned. We had to retain a lot of accuracy in our systems. We also had to go through several fairly complex maneuvers, both with the launch vehicle and the spacecraft. All of those maneuvers were performed very successfully. And I guess today I'm very happy with the electronic pilot we had.
Dick Lewis, Chicago Sun-Times. Also to Glenn Lunny, would you perhaps you expressed yourself on this earlier and I didn't catch it, but would you have preferred and would you have felt easier if there had been a crew in the cockpit today?
Well, I have to qualify that answer because, as you know, this was the first time we were flying the Saturn V launch vehicle, and our attitude has been that we would want to fly at least two of those vehicles in order to assure ourselves that the launch vehicle has been properly man-rated. So in that regard, first time out, we're going to fly them unmanned. But when we move on, we'll be very glad to see the pilots back in the loop.
Julie Devine, Metalworking News. Mr. Lunny, what was the highest heat experienced by the heat shield? And can you comment on any performance parameters about the heat shield?
The best, I don't have the numbers in front of me. The best I have is that the conditions that we arrived at today were a little bit higher than we had planned for by just a few percentage points in both the total heat and the total heating rate. However, this may not end up being true when we actually get the spacecraft back, establish what the lift-to-drag ratio of the configuration was, and see what the reentry trajectory was that we actually flew. So preliminary indications are that we flew it a little bit hotter than we had planned by perhaps a percentage point, but I think all the numbers are not in on that.
Let me put a number on that. Our nominal mission would have given us a heating rate of 594 BTU per square foot per second. as Lonnie pointed out, based on trajectory data, we may have hit a little higher than that, which would have been a more severe test of the heat shield, but we won't know this until we analyze the data. On a nominal return from the moon, our heating rate will be about two-thirds of that number. So it has been a severe test of the heat shield.
Apollo.
Okay. We're excusing Dr. Miller again. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, it's a line back up there.
Ed DeLong, United Press. Chris, do you have any figures yet on the heats encountered inside the command module?
No, we actually have no telemetry data that we've had a chance to look at that would indicate what the temperature inside the command module was.
Did you have any problems with telemetry or communications? There was some indication there might have been a telemetry problem earlier today.
We had what we think were telemetry problems a couple of times. However, as you may know, we were flying two new systems. On the launch vehicle in orbit, we were flying the S-band system, which we will use for the lunar vehicle. We were also flying the S-band frequency system, which we have on the spacecraft, the unified S-band system, which carries all of the spacecraft data. We occasionally had what we assumed to be at this time antenna pattern problems, which just mean that the attitude of the vehicle was such that the antennas on the vehicle and the ground antennas weren't properly aligned. We kind of expected that we would have some of those kind of problems during the course of the day, and I think when we get a chance to look at all the data, we'll have a better handle on what to expect next time and what we can do to improve what happened here today.
All right, now the other center directors have joined the conference at the Cape, and we want to switch down there for a statement from Dr. Von Braun.
All I can say is that I'm highly gratified about the results of this test. It was really a textbook launching all the way through, from launching exactly on time to performance of every single stage, particularly the restart in orbit, which was something experimental, went off quite successfully. As Dr. Siemens pointed out yesterday, we wouldn't consider this launch a complete success unless we had the spacecraft safely recovered on the deck of the carrier. Now looks like this is just only a few minutes away.
I'm very happy and somewhat tired, but I think we have achieved three main goals the last years and months and days and hours. One is a new concept of a facility has been brought in, has been constructed and exercised and proved to operate well. Past or post-launch inspection indicates that we have only minor refurbishment to do. So very satisfied with that. Second, we had a very almost monumental task in getting together a group of people. Some are quite new in this business. We had to build up a team that would work together as if it was composed of people who had done it many, many times. To this, our countdown demonstration work has helped us immensely. In this context, I believe I can say that it's one of the most complicated, interlaced complex launch countdowns that are in existence. And the third one, of course, is the exercising of the hardware proper that is contributory to the launch vehicle and spacecraft. And I believe this also has worked well. So I'm very happy and proud to be permitted to be part of this team, and I think that demonstration has been made that not only has been brought online a new launch vehicle of tremendous power, but also a capability that will help this nation to maintain its position in space.
Well, I'm too very proud and happy on this day. I think the entire group of people that have worked this all these systems have reason to be proud and happy too. I think both the spacecraft and the launch vehicle performed very well indeed. I believe it's perhaps easier for many of us to understand the launch vehicle performance. It's we can watch it, at least a good part of it. It's tremendous, and I certainly was as impressed as any. I think in some ways the spacecraft probed just as deeply into the unknown today as the launch vehicle did into the technology of large rockets. First, of course, this is the first time that a full-scale vehicle has really re-entered the Earth's atmosphere at this speed. And of course, we won't know till we see the data and have a look at the ablation material how well it did. But it was at least well enough to come back intact. We know that. Now, there are other things that will be of interest. We had radiation monitoring aboard this craft as it went on up through to the apogee of over 10,000 miles. It will show what the radiation levels are inside the cabin. At least we hope they will if all of the instruments work. There was also on board a camera which will show an astronaut's view of the Earth from a color camera, which we hope worked. And I think that the other things that aren't so obvious right now, but which will be very, very important to us, things like the knowledge of the loads imposed on the vehicles, the vibration levels, all these things we can now put in the realm of measurement much more completely than it's much more satisfactory than having in the realm of estimates and calculation. Well, all in all, I think that it's been a very a good step forward, and I'm very happy and proud, as Kurt is and Werner is and all the rest of us, to be a part of this team.
In addition, here Cape to the three center directors, we have General Samuel Phillips, who is Apollo Program Manager, Mr. George Lowe, who is Apollo Program Manager for the Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston, Rocco Patrone, who is Launch Director for the Apollo 4 mission from the Kennedy Space Center, and Dr. Arthur Rudolph, who is Saturn V Program Manager from the Marshall Space Flight Center. We understand that Dr. Siemens has some additional remarks at this time.
I'd just like to amplify the response I gave to the question here regarding morale. The morale of those involved in the Apollo program following